Praise God. Well, I don't know about you. I'm expecting wonderful things.
Amen.
God's good. Hallelujah. There's things that just excite me, things that are happening and going on. I didn't hear something from Washington that made me excited. But there's wonderful things going on. Depends where you're looking and what's happening. And we're going to talk about that this morning. We've been teaching. The Lord spoke to me, some time ago about going into this area of teaching, and we're dealing, and what I titled it, really got it from the Holy Spirit, In Due Time. Again, we started off in this thing looking, because the Bible says that Christ came in due time, and we began to look at this thing, or the right time of the right season, and it's important to understand the season that you're in and the time that we're in. What do you do? One of the things that lots of times the church world misses is that I've always enjoyed history, and even studying in the church history. If you look at church history, it's always been interesting. You almost never saw revival come out of a group God had moved in revival before. And I found very interesting. I thought, well, why is that? Well, God moves in a certain way, and they all want to stay in that season. They don't move to the next season with God. They try to carry that season on and on and on and on and on. And that isn't the way it goes. You got to know what God's doing. It's like a farmer. He don't plant all year round. He ain't running the combine all year round. But the church does these things. They don't know their season. And see, we got to know in due season Christ came. Well, if you had to pick the season that Christ came, we'd all probably said you needed to do that earlier. But God understands preparation. He understands growth. He understands time. Say, well, why did he choose that? I don't know. He didn't bother telling me. And he didn't bother telling you. So that's in things in his hands. What we need to do is find out what he's doing so we cooperate with whatever he is that he's doing. We don't know everything about what God's doing. There's many things that God will do that he initiates himself. Salvation was not initiated by you. So your salvation was not initiated by you, but the day you tried to accept Jesus, salvation was initiated by God. There was nothing good in you for anybody to want you. That's the way we were. We were in sin. The Bible tells us a person who's an unbeliever, the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God was abiding on us. The only thing that we had was wrath on us. And God sent Christ. He initiated that. God sent God to deliver us.
Amen.
Think about that. Phenomenal. I mean, it's absolutely incredible what God has did. He's the initiator. And that's why we need him so much, because he can do things, see things, understand things beyond us. And what we find out is, if we're workers together with him, and the Bible says we are, what's my job? What should I do at this time? Right now, what should I be doing? See, many people look at the future saying, Jesus coming back. That's good. But what do I do till Jesus comes back?
Amen.
Well, one of the things Scripture tells us, that those who have, John wrote this. He said, those who have that hope purify themselves. Well, we see right now there's things going on around in the church world. We're having some of these things going on where people see the need to purify themselves. But we have much in the church world that don't see any need for it. Everything's all right. We have grace. You don't even have to repent anymore. If you sin as a Christian, you don't even have to bother ask God to say, it's all taken care of. Well, it isn't scriptural, because I can show you, there's churches in the book of Revelation that were told to repent. Well, if that stuff ain't for today, what on earth were they talking about? That was from Jesus. Jesus is the one that told John that. I figure Jesus is right, and a lot of ministers are wrong.
Amen.
As I've always told you, I'm like John G. Lake. If Jesus said it, that's the end of the subject. There's no more discussion. Not with me, anyhow. I'm sure you can get groups that want to discuss with you. But it's not with me. If Jesus said it, that's it. To me, that's made life really easy. Jesus said it. Hallelujah. We got his word on it. Do you need another word?
No.
Hallelujah. That's the wonderful thing. We don't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He can't lie. Whatever he says is so. Whatever he's promised will come to pass. Hallelujah. He's one. See, that's why faith is not a difficult thing. Hallelujah. Faith is really in itself is an easy thing. It's putting your flesh under to walk in it. That's where the fight comes. That's the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is it isn't hard to believe. Many things that we can easily believe in our heart, but our flesh don't necessarily want to cooperate with that. And what we're dealing with is our flesh, is bringing our flesh under to walk in the light of what's in our heart to do. Hallelujah. Because your flesh and people around you who live in the flesh are telling you, you're crazy, you shouldn't do that. No, you shouldn't walk in that. You shouldn't follow that. That don't make any sense. Like the flesh makes any sense. See, we're living in a nation that's full of the flesh, and it's making a lot of sense, isn't it? It's a crazy place to live because people are walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're the church of Jesus Christ. We're not walking in the flesh. We're going to walk in the spirit. We're spirit people. Hallelujah. The outside, we're not supposed to let that dominate and rule. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let the inner man. The body's not what's to dictate. The inner man does. And that's where the Holy Spirit is in communion with your inner man. If you haven't noticed, he's not in communion with your flesh. You're in communion with your flesh. You're the one that has to bring that under. You're the one that has to slap that down when it tries to get up. You're the one that has to tell it what to do. Glory to God. But hallelujah, you have the Holy Spirit and His power inside of you to do something about the flesh. You can overcome if you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Last week, one of the things we got into is talking about something that Jesus said, because I began to pray and ask God when He told me about this subject and look at these things, and I started to ask Him, well, what do we do now? What do you want? What do you want the church to do? What do you want? Because we're not trying to get God to move. Let's get that out of our mind. If you're praying, trying to get God to do something, you don't know Him. If anybody wants to move, it's Him. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to do something good, it's God. And so we're not trying to talk Him into something. We're trying to get in line with what He's doing so He can do more of what He likes to do. You know, years ago, the Lord spoke, you know, God's blessing. You know, God loves to bless people. The Lord spoke to me about that, Him loving to bless people. He said, people are out here. He said, it's my great desire. You know, you look in the Bible what it says about reward. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God loves to do that. God loves to reward people. You know, the church world, no, God likes to make you sick to teach you something. No, God likes to do this. Or He's causing you problems. When I was a kid, I asked my parents, why do we worry about the devil? It seems God's the ugly one. He's doing all this stuff to people, and He's doing all these things, and He's ruining everything, and He's putting people through all this stuff. And we say, stay away from the devil. Well, they didn't have an answer for me. You know, they didn't have an answer. Well, this is the wisdom. Oh, just God, why He knows what He's doing. Well, it'd be good if we found out what it was. You know? That'd be good if we found out, wouldn't it? How do you cooperate with what you don't know? You can't. See, I needed information. I want to cooperate with God. And I said, God, what are You doing that You want me to do? What is it that I can do so You can carry out Your plan, what Your desire is to do? What do You want to do? One of the things we began to look at, because the Lord spoke to me about something we can pray for, something we can ask. Jesus, when He sent the 12 out, we went through and reading that last week. He sent the 12 out, and He sent then 70 more out. And He said, told them, He said, pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Now, we need to understand this. What He isn't talking about here is saying we ought to hold classes on getting people to go out and harvest. He didn't say that, did He? I can't find that in Scripture. Here's where we miss it. We try to intellectually reach the world. How well has it been working? How well has it been working? And you know what? We just got intellectual Christians. We can sit around, quote the scriptures and all that stuff, but no power. You know, I have seen, and I've been around power. I have seen true revival that'll blow your mind that I have never seen in America, what I've seen overseas in true revival that just blow your mind. It's outside of human thinking. Your brains can't catch up with what's going on and what's happening. God's moving, doing things and reaching people, and you're just sort of, you know, I was down in Peru, and I've told these stories before, but the move of God, it seemed like you could just walk out in the street, and we were street preaching. And we just saw thousands upon thousands of people on the streets come to Christ. City buses stopping. I mean, and ask them, the driver's asking us to come on. These are the city buses that are supposed to be running, taking people, stopping. Ask us, come on. Tell the people on the bus want to know what you're telling the people out there. And they parked around this park. The city buses stopped. You know? And I'd go back to the hotel at night and I'd lay down in the bed and I'd say, Lord, am I going to wake up and find this is all a dream? Because, you know, I couldn't grasp the reality of what was happening here. That you just go out, it's like you could say, Jesus loves you, and everybody, oh, what? It's like, well, it wasn't because we were great preachers.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It couldn't have been. There's a move of God. There's this, which the church lacks, anointing. We are trying to take Scripture, instead of walking and anointing with Scripture, we're trying to do it by intellect. We need a move of God. We need people. Pray that the Lord... See, when Jesus sent the 70, and when He sent the 12, they were anointed. Their success was the anointing, not their education. It wasn't all the good things Jesus taught them. It was the anointing. They could have went without Him sending them if it just took the news some information. But they didn't. Why would Jesus tell us to pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers? He didn't say, you need to hold more classes. You know, in America, the church has been educated to their own death. This isn't about how much knowledge you gain. This is about Jesus. The church is about Jesus. It's about the head. It's about Him. He's the head of the church. When we come to Christ, many people, they want Jesus as their Savior. What the church needs is a Lord. We confess His Lordship to be saved, not His Saviorship.
Amen.
The Bible says we're supposed to confess His Lord. Jesus is Lord. Paul said it. I wonder if he was right. Maybe. You know, you never know. Maybe Paul didn't know so much. You know? The success of Christianity is the Lordship of Jesus. That's the success of Christianity. And this is what we come to. We need Jesus. We're saying, Jesus, you're all I need. Is that true, or are we just mouthing words? It sounds really nice here, but I'm going home afterwards, you know. Come on, guys, you know, am I the only guy who thinks like this? do you ever just have to repent for saying, Lord, I've been saying this, but I haven't been listening to what I've been saying, you know? I need to get down where I mean this stuff. We desperately need Him, and He desperately wants us.
Hallelujah.
He loves us. The desires of things that we would love to see, we're like, He would love to do. See, Jesus doesn't do anything in the earth except through the church. There's always people involved. Did you ever notice that? People don't get saved when somebody's anointed to preach. You know, it just don't just happen. And we need to get over there. He wants cooperation. He wants people that He can anoint to do His will. And He's not looking for the smartest guy in the block.
Amen. That's right.
As I've told you, I mean, I was when I was over in Fiji ministering in a Bible school over there, but I would go out to the churches and minister. And this one church I'd go to, these people would worship. And I've never been in my life in worship services like that in there. These people there, they were just simple people that, you know, lived in this little small town out of the way. And they get in there and, you know, they just love Jesus. They'd get up there and a guy'd have a guitar with maybe four strings on it. But they would, and those people would sing in the power of God. I mean, it was like going to heaven in that place. And I said to my wife, Wanda, I said, she, I took her over the first time. I said, honey, when we go over there, wait till you go to this church. Wait till you go to this church. I said, when you go there. I said, and to me, I just love to think about going there. I said, when those people worship, they're singing in Fijian. I ain't got a clue what they're saying, but God shows up. I said, I do know what He's saying. I know it. I said, He comes. That's what I want Him to come. I want Him to come. Now, I'll tell you what happened to that church over the years. they grew. And then the intellect started coming, the educated preachers. And they came and they bought all the electronics and they bought all the stuff. Now, I'm not saying this stuff's bad, but that became what was important. It wasn't Jesus anymore. And the worship services, last time I was there, were not the same at all. The last time I preached there, I struggled in that church to preach the word. Where before demonstrations of the Spirit, manifestations of the Holy Ghost, but it stopped because people got intellectual instead of spiritual. There's nothing the matter with having good education. I know people with wonderful loads of education. I mean, I think it was P.C. Nelson spoke 30-some different languages. But you talk about a man who was spiritual. He knew God. You see, it isn't. See, what happens when whatever's first, whatever's the most, and see what it is, we glory in our smartness in America, and what I really look at it, our smugness. And even in the church is smug. You know, we need to humble ourselves. We ain't near as bright as we like to think we are. We wouldn't be in the mess today we're in this nation if we had any good sense. Let's get real. You know, people say, well, my children need to go to college. Well, everybody in Washington got a degree. How well is it working down there? What's that education done? Well, nobody. I can't believe educated people are so stupid. I got some education, but dear Lord, I found out I was stupid too. I found out my education and my brilliance cannot measure up to God's wisdom. Amen. It can't measure up to one who knows everything. I know we think we do, but I found out we don't. And we need Him. We need Jesus moving. There's a move of God. How can I cooperate with you, God? He said, pray for the Lord of harvest to send laborers. He said that He sent people out. Look what He sent them out to do. Go read the scriptures, what He sent them out to do. He didn't send them out to do any intellectual stuff at all. He said, you tell them the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick. Do all these different. He said, you go do this stuff. This is what you do. See, they had a gospel to preach. He said, you go out and you do that. He didn't ask for anybody being smart. He said, you guys just go do this. And see, we need to come down here. They had to have something. They had to have something that Jesus had to go out and do that. The church, and I hear ministers say this, well, we're called to do the ministry of Jesus. Well, when are we ever going to start that one? You can't do it without God's hand. If you don't have God's hand on you, it's just you. Amen. I've had enough of me. Haven't you had enough of you? Amen. Come to the place where you're tired of you and say, God, I need some of you. That's what I need. I need some of you. See, in this day and time, that's what God wants to do. That's why He said, pray that the Lord of harvest send. God send someone. I learned this about ministry, and I watched it over the years. Many people are called and few are chosen, it says. You know why? Because few are sent. Most people go into the ministry because of a calling. You don't go in because you're called. You go because you're sent. When God sends you to whatever. I learned it from some men of wisdom. Because people make that mistake. You know, I was ministering and doing things before I ever went to Bible school. When I went to go to Bible school, people said, you don't need to go to Bible school. He said, you don't need to go there because, you know, you're already ministering. You're already doing something. God's already used you. Go, you know, you don't need to go there. I said, no, I need to obey God. He told me to go there. I said, number one, that's what I need to do. Now, all that other ministry that I did under other ministries and other things that I was in. And then, right before we were going to graduate, we graduated in May of a year there when we graduated. And right before that, the month before that, the Lord spoke to me one day at school and said to me, He said, because you've been faithful with other people's ministries and walked in them, when you leave here, I'm going to put you in your own ministry. Now, I had been called from the night I got born again. I knew I was called to the full-time ministry, but I never went in the ministry. See, there's a ministry God calls you to. He says, I'm going to put you into something. I'm going to do something. Now, I'm going to anoint you to do this. Now, I've had the anointing of God to do certain things, but to step into where God wanted me, and see, this is where does God want me? God wants laborers in the harvest. He wants to anoint them. You know who he anoints? The faithful. He said, whoever's faithful with little, he'll make ruler over much. See, we want the ruler over much. That's where you start. See, that's America. You go to college and start with much. And all they're pumping out is unfaithfulness. That's all they pump out. Unfaithfulness. They're just pumping unfaithfulness out. People ain't faithful. I learned to be faithful. The Lord said, I'm going to send you. Paul said, God found me faithful and put me in the ministry. How does that stuff get... People don't read it. Somehow. The intellectuals ain't picked that up yet. No, you go to school and become... No, I went in the ministry and God sent me. The school never sent me. My education in Bible school never sent me to the ministry. I was just being faithful. You know, one of the things God sent me to... In Bible school, I can truthfully say this. I didn't learn a whole bunch of new stuff. Because I was always a studier and reading the Word. And I was, you know, reading other people's stuff and sitting under people and stuff and listening. God sent me there for one purpose, and he told me. It's the anointing. See, I don't care how much you know, you don't get the anointing. It's just you. This is what's happened today in Christianity. It's just been people without the anointing. It's people. Oh my God, we need the anointing.
Amen. We need.
And see, you have to know, number one, you have to know what's in you. I mean, I want you to think about this because we got last week. And we're going to have a testimony. We prayed last week for two individuals. We prayed for them and had a testimony on Wednesday night about what God did. One of the things we did is what God is moving in, he wants the believer to know what's in them. People walk around saying the Holy Spirit lives in them. The Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then they're trying to get power. The Holy Ghost ain't got none. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you.
Amen.
And that Spirit will make alive your mortal bodies.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we need is in us, but we got to come in contact with it.
Hallelujah.
We're not walking what's in us. We're walking what we see around us. We're ministering according to what we see rather than what the Spirit's saying.
Amen.
We're moving on that. We're not walking by the power that's in us. And so we're talking about, because you need to know what's in you. My job was this, and I've told you this, it isn't, there's no kind of thing it has to do with, you know, and this is no bragging on me because I was just at the time. When the Lord told me to start a church, he said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you can do that with people. You can teach people. So they can know God like you do if you know anything.
Amen.
You can teach them.
Hallelujah.
But he's telling them, that's my job. My job's not to do everything. My job's not to do all the ministry. Your job is to do the work of the ministry. Did you know that? It says it in the Bible. That's that part we ripped out and burnt. You know, that page. That page, it was the minister's job to do the work of the ministry. That's his work. He needs to get to it. And so we have a job. My job is to raise people up, to let them see what they have, see what you are. Most of the church world don't have a clue who they are. They're trying to find out what they are. They're seeking God about what they are. Read the book, it tells you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful what you are. You do not have to pray one second to have that. You got it. She said, you have the same power pack in you that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Is there something else you might need? Now, it's not talking about physical resurrection. It raised him from spiritual death to spiritual life. That, the Bible says in teaching, if you follow through in the Bible, it talks about God's power and use. It says he put the stars out there. He flung them with his fingers. And it talks about different things. But it said when he raised Jesus from the dead, he said his arm. His arm. The strongest part. In other words, he used his arm, took more power to raise Jesus from the dead than anything that God did. Our creation is spit compared to the resurrection from spiritual death. Your new birth required more power than anything God ever created.
Amen.
And people wonder, well, maybe God don't want me to have this or that. Well, he sure went to a lot of trouble to do a lot of stuff for what he don't want to do for nobody.
Amen.
See, there's a lot of craziness out here. It's what he did to raise Jesus from the dead, because he raised anyone, the Holy Spirit raised anyone with Jesus who will call on his name. Mm-hmm. And that same Spirit that did that is in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, God gives people, I have a special anointing to teach and that stuff, but we need to understand is God gives everybody, but everybody has the Holy Spirit in them. Every Christian, you know, Jesus before he left it, in Mark 16, he told the disciples, you guys go out and preach. And he said, those who believe, now he didn't say, he said, those who believe in my name, he talks about what they do. They cast out devils, they lay hands on the sick. He says the things that they'll do. Now he didn't say, you disciples will do it. He didn't say that. And I've got a preacher say, well, that was for the disciples. I said, well, if it was, I said, then you're not a believer. Because he said, this is what the believers will do. I said, that qualified it. If God ain't going to do it to me, then Jesus is a liar. We need to throw the book out. Jesus lied. Believers won't do these things. See, we need to get over into this. Is the Bible really true? Or is it just a fun book to read? And one day we'll finally get to heaven and get away from all these bad people. I'm going to tell you what, a lot of these bad people are going to get looking good and go to heaven with us.
Amen.
In spite of some Christians. You know? It's just like the guy that told me when I got saved, I worked at E3 Reese Candy Company. He said, you're the last guy I thought would ever get saved. And I said, well, I know you weren't praying for me. I'm going to tell you what God's doing this last days. He's chasing after the most ugly that the church thinks stinks. And they don't realize the church that they're the stench. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Revival always reaches out to the ugly. Do you want a revival? And you know what? The church won't enter this great revival. In so many individuals ain't going to enter it. They never do. It's always revival comes. You've got the spectators, the complainers, the one who have to have all the doctrine completely straight. And if everybody ain't just got it lined up like they do, then this ain't a move of God. I don't care if it's me. I've watched it. Millions come into the kingdom. You know, I remember Oral Roberts back, this is in the 1950s. Ministers complained about Oral Roberts because he would say all the time, God is good. And they said, you'll give people the wrong impression that God is good. Because, you know, they believe God, is God ugly? I mean, is he mean? What is he? They actually complained. They complained about this. Ministers. I mean, he got a real big hard time about that. Saying God is good. Well, get over it. Whether you like it or not, God's good. And his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited? Hallelujah. God is good. In spite of me, in spite of our failures, in spite of what we do, God changes not.
Amen.
He's still good. God may sometimes have to come along and chasten you, but he doesn't chasten, he chastens you because he loves you, because he wants to give you his best. He wants to reward you. If you're out of it and you got messed up, he's trying to bring you back, not for the purpose because he just needs another slave. He wants to reward you. He wants to bless you. That's his whole plan. You know, we get, what do you think going to heaven's about? You know, I told my parents, I said, if God's treating people bad here, because they asked me the question, do you want to go to heaven? And I said, no. That throws people's theology all out. 11-year-old kid telling them no. And I said, what? I said, if God didn't treat you good here, what makes you think he's going to treat you good when he gets there? And they looked at me like, well, if he changes not, did they lie? Mm. Well, see, the church world has a lot of wonderful sayings, but they're just sayings. That's all they are. Just sayings. You know, and you said, and when I was a kid, I used to listen to this stuff in church. I'm going to tell you what, I was scared of God. They talk about the devil being bad, and I thought, God's the guy I'm worried about. When's one day is he going to get sick of me? You know, and he never did.
Praise God.
It wasn't until I was 30 years old, I heard a good God gospel. Not a flaky God, just you get away with everything. It made sense. A gospel. And I came to Christ. And I tell you what, He's been good to me ever since.
Hallelujah.
Even in my stupidity, even times He had to chew me out for things. Even times I had to go and repent. The most incredible things that I've ever run into where I thought I just did really stupid stuff. And they were stupid. But I repented. And you know, and God would talk to me as if I had never done anything wrong. After you repent, He has the most incredible ability that we need to get a hold of, and we can. He can forget and never remember. I want to get real good at that one. Do you know? You know what most of you guys' problems is? Same one I deal with. It's we can't forget, and even with ourselves. We can't forget. We ask God to forgive us, but we don't forget it. Mm-hmm. We let it hang here in our thoughts. Yeah, well, I messed up over here, and I did this. I remember having to deal with my father in his late life, and he was talking about certain things, and he said, well, his life and things that went. He said, I ruined my body and things. He said, I was a drunkard and all that stuff. Well, I know I was a drunkard. I did that stuff. But I said to Dad, I said, is God still holding that against you? What you did? No, He's not. And I said, the only one that's holding this thing is you. I said, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. I said, He ain't holding none of that against you. I said, you don't have to have bad health because of that thing. I said, if you have to have bad health, then He must be holding things against you. I said, I can't see it. Well, my dad died when he was 90 years old.
Amen.
He lived out his life, and he lived out good to the end.
Hallelujah.
He was just as clear in thought and mind, just as good. Hallelujah. Why? Because our God is good.
Amen.
We hang on to things. Well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that. Well, I guess, what is 1 John 1:9? Now, if you're taught, well, we don't have to repent. Sometimes you have to repent. I don't know. Maybe I do it more than most. Well, one thing I found out is you repent quickly. If you must, don't waste around.
Amen.
The more you stay away from God, things never get better.
Amen.
If you miss it, go right to Him right away.
Hallelujah.
And He said this, you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. You come boldly. You don't have to crawl up to the throne. You don't have to go in and wimp and whine. You can walk right in the door and say, Lord, I was an idiot and I did wrong. Lord, I want to thank You for the blood today that covers it. I just admitted what it did. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what confession, that word confession is the idea there, to admit. Admit you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my God. All you got to do is admit to God that you did wrong.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
Does it get any easier than that?
No,
I got to still go through a 12-step program now. We got to go through that. Yeah. We'll go through one of those, and I can sit with a group of people who have the same guilt I do, and we're going to talk and help each other. Oh, yeah, that's going to work. That is definitely going to work. Sit around with everybody that got your problem, and we're going to correct problems. I found this a long time ago. You want to get over a problem, find out the person who got over the problem, and go sit with them.
Amen.
You don't go sit with the people that ain't fixed. You'll never get fixed. See, I'm going to take my car, this mechanic. He gets together with these other mechanics that can't fix cars, so I'm going to take mine over there. This will work out great. All right, I'll tell you what. I know my mind gets out there. I do. Hallelujah, but I'm glad. But what I want to do here, because I want you folks, and God wants you, your need to understand what's in you. Now, I'm going to have Sherry's going to come and testify. We prayed for her last week. Now, number one is God had me do. I didn't touch her. I didn't. But everybody else, you all, the congregation laid hands on her because is the congregation, you have the Spirit. He said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And so we want to have a test. She gave us a testimony, and I want to share because it isn't about, see, everybody looks, understand this, God does give special anointings to certain people to minister in certain areas. He does that. But any Christian can lay hands on the sick. Now, I want you to understand this. And I've said it last week. We have this idea that we lay hands on people, and this is just, people say, well, it's a point of contact and all that. No, it's not. It's about transmission. Mm-hmm. See, I was trained in military electronics, and it's about contact. There's no point of contact if it's just a physical thing you're just doing. The point of contact is to transmit. Do I transmit something? In the name of Jesus, what did Peter, the guy at the gate beautiful, Peter come along and he said, you know, don't look at me as I don't have anything. He said it was faith in the name of Jesus. But he turned around and grabbed that guy and put, did he transmit something to that guy? See, what are we doing to lay our hands on people? It's contact and transmission. It's just not being making a contact, it's to transmit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the same Spirit in you that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah.
You have resurrection in you. We're passing something on. This whole idea, see today, it's all formality. The laying on of hands and all that kind of stuff. Baptisms, that's all formality. Don't mean a thing anymore. It means nothing. We're just going through ritual. Ritual doesn't deliver people, is it? The anointing of God. You have the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, you lay hands on this thing. Why would he tell you to lay hands on something if nothing was going to happen with it? Now, number one, you don't heal nobody. Understand? It's God in you that does it.
Amen.
It's God in you. If he ain't doing it, just forget it, go home. Because all they're going to get you. But see, we can have faith in him. And see, that's what Lord wanted to show. Believers get together, they lay hands on somebody. We look so much to the ministers. And you know, I'm just going to tell you, ministers like it. You know? Hey, you can get a lot of checks getting them to love you.
Amen.
To get to make you think that he's God. You get a lot of checks like that. That I need him. See, and I'm going to tell you, I learned this from a very wise man. It's Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin had a special anointing. And I mean, under his ministry, I saw phenomenal miracles. But he would do this. Many times he would be ministering. You go to, say, a meeting. And he'd minister. And he would call certain people out who were, like people who worked in his staff. And he said, you go down and minister to the people. You go minister to them. You go lay hands on them. Well, you see just as much stuff happen with them. But there's people who would get offended. I came here to have my hands laid on by him.
That's right. Yeah.
See, they thought he was a healer. There's a lot of Christians. They're looking to some guy. If I can just get this guy. You know, if I can just go see this guy, this guy, this guy. If I can just get there. I understand a sinner doing that. But I'm going to tell you what. I mean, I got the Holy Ghost in me. How far do I have to go? What do I think of the believers around me? Now, I said, there's some believers you don't want them to lay hands on you. No telling what they're going to do or say. No telling. But this is why the congregation like this and that people, you're hungry and thirsty. If you weren't hungry for God, you'd never come here. There's loads of churches you can go to.
Amen.
You can go play church in a lot of places.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A lot of places let you play church.
Amen.
But you're hungering and thirsting for something. Hallelujah. You want more. You want more of God in you. Not more just education. You want more of God. The knowledge of Him.
Amen.
Oh, the knowledge of Him. The whole point of you and I learning the Word is to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to be, a theologian. It's to know Him.
Amen.
There's one thing, I got to know Him.
Amen.
He is phenomenal.
Amen.
He is so incredible. I mean, Peter refused to die on a cross in the same way that guy. Peter understood what he was. Peter understood. It's just like John the Baptist said about the Messiah. I'm not worthy to even unlatch his sandals. In comparison to the glory. But he called us. And he seated us together with him in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
He must be insane. But I'm going with it. I ain't going to tell him he's crazy. I'm not going to tell him. I'm going to go sit. He said it could.
Amen.
Take the seat. Hallelujah. If he's insane, I don't want to. Don't tell him any difference. He's not crazy. It's his desire for you.
Amen.
It's his view of you.
Amen.
This is God's view of you, what he does. The day that you got born again, he seated you. He didn't wait till one day. When you get real spiritual, I'll let you sit with me. The church has made us feel like that. I know I've taught in Bible schools and you have to unteach people. Because we're taught so much religion. God is going to move in America when we get real spiritual. If I can get spiritual without Him, He don't need to move. I need a move of God because I ain't so darn spiritual. The church ain't near as spiritual. A lot of ministers ain't near as spiritual as they think they are. Get over ourselves.
Amen.
We need Him. We need Him to show up. We're in so desperate shape. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, He'll show up for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to ask Sherry to come and say, now, and understand this. I didn't touch her or anything. This is just the regular believers. Just laying hands on her so she can share what God did. Good morning.
It is really good to be able to say how great our God is, and it's even better to be able to testify of the power and authority that we have in the name of Jesus in order for that to be working in and through each and every one of us. So I think that is just a testimony within itself. I have something on the inside of my mouth. It's on the inside of my jaw. Apparently it's called Tori. And what it is it's very large bone-like growth. So I don't want to be gross, but I'm actually going to walk around and show it to you because I think it's more effective if you see literally what's happening in my mouth. So, do you see this? My dad always said that too when I was a kid. You see that down there? You saw it. See this down here? All those lumps?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, I mean, how many times do you look inside of somebody's mouth? I just thought that was normal. I thought everybody's mouth was like that. We don't walk around and look in each other's jaws, right? And so I had gone to the dentist a while ago and tried to get an x-ray, and he had a really difficult time getting the little piece down in there to take the x-ray. And he said, Sherry, you have Tori, and it's pretty bad. I said, "What is that?" And he explained it to me. So apparently I've been growing these little things ever since I was little. I never had pain, never had an issue. Here of late, on the inside of my jaw, on the back, I felt little ridges. I don't know if you remember when you got your second teeth, they had little ridges and you'd feel them coming up through your gum. And it really felt like a tooth was going to grow on the inside of my jaw. Not my gum, literally on the jawbone. And it was really sharp and it was bone. And one day I started talking and I felt it slicing the side of my tongue. It had actually broken through the skin. So I had sharp pieces of bone sticking from my jaw, growing in towards my tongue, scratching my tongue. Really painful. Really, really painful. And so that was the reason I came up here, because I had decided in my mind that is not mine. I'm not having anything growing on the inside of my jaw. My skin's going to grow over it. I'm not going to have to go anywhere and get it taken care of. It is going to be healed in the name of Jesus. I just determined it. Not mine, not having it. And so we came up here and we prayed, and I am happy to announce that we prayed on Sunday, and I had a testimony by Wednesday that I didn't have any pain in the jaw any longer, and that the skin had grown over the bone. And I have no pain whatsoever in my jaw. And I'm just going to add one more happened to me this week, if that's okay with you, Pastor. I arrived to work, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday this week, and they had been evaluating everybody's pay scale. They said it was off. And our school district is in financial takeover by the state because our finances were such a mess. I got to work and I sat down at my desk and they put out a new pay scale and I looked and God granted me a $6,000 a year raise. So I just wanted to add that one on there. It's been a great week.
Didn't even pray for that one.
No.
See, these are the things. God does exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think, according to the power that works in you. Are you letting the Holy Spirit work in you? See, lots of people, I've had over the years, people say, well, why does God do this for you? I've been praying. Yeah, but what about the power working? Are you hooked up with the power that's in you? Or are you just, I'm just an old body. See, people live in that place. And they don't live and say, you know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God likes me. I was so glad to find out God likes me. I didn't always like me. And sometimes we do things that we don't even like ourselves, but He don't change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God does wonderful things. Now, what I want to do is this, is because you know, Sherry has her testimony and things. There's one thing that I want you to know. You as a believer, what you have in you and what you can do, what God said in the words you can do, if he didn't anoint you to do it, he's stupid. Because you quit believing his word. See, a lot of people, this is when ministers get over and think, well, God don't do those things today. He don't do that, what was done here. Well, then who did it? The devil? Then we're going to worship him? What are we going to do? If God ain't doing it, well, then who's doing it? Well, you know, I don't think it was the power of positive. We're positive thinkers. It might be positive stinkers, but I don't think thinkers. Hallelujah. Well, see, people want to move everything over to the intellectual side and doing this and doing that. We need to give God glory. I mean, I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. But God worked through you individuals there. It is, and you need to see that. Is the fact is God will use you as quickly. When I was a young Christian before I was ever in the ministry, God did numbers of spectacular things through me that really blew my mind. And I remember when I first started, because see, I got saved. I wasn't in a church. I got saved in my living room. God had been dealing with me for months. I knew enough of the Bible from being raised in a church that God, the Holy Spirit, began to deal with me concerning things of Scripture that I knew. He started dealing with me. And I got over and started looking in the Bible. I got born again. As number one, I didn't go around other Christians because just naturally up to that time, I had had enough of Christians. Because the crazy stuff and things they were telling me and stuff like that. And I got over and I got into the Word and God, I got wonderfully saved. I mean, I'll tell you this, I got saved. The night I got saved, I didn't feel any great weight come off of me. I didn't have any kind of great experience that night. No, the great experiences started happening through me, not to me. Because I got over studying and began to listen to things in the Word about what God would do through people. I was so dumb, I didn't have any preachers. I hadn't been listening to any but tell me that God wouldn't do it. And I was just this idiot who thought, this Bible says to do this, so this will work. Stupid me. And it worked. And the first thing I did when I started going to church, they tried to talk me out of it. Oh, our God is big, but he's in a planet someplace else, and we're here. He can do anything there. If he can't do it here, I ain't wasting my time. If he isn't who he says he is here, I'm not worshiping him. I'm not giving him glory. If he won't do it here, who cares? What does it matter? You know, Jesus came and he brought proof through his ministry that God was glorious, that God was one. That isn't what the Jews had heard about God. You know? The Jews in his day, they are good. You know, God's mad. God don't like you guys, and most of you ain't good enough. It's only us scribes, Pharisees he likes. The rest of you bunch out there, you know, get a life. And God came and visited them, and they hated it. It's going to happen. It happens in every revival. God will visit people, and Christians will hate it. There's Christians are going to hate it. There are. I remember when I came into the kingdom, a move of God, and I remember Christians getting upset. God moving in the Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, and all these different... God began to move in them. People were getting born again. Life changed. I was in Full Gospel Businessmen, and my words, we just had phenomenal things happen in those meetings, and people come and get saved of every denomination and anything you could think of. They came. People wanted a God that wanted to do something. But there's people got upset about it. Ministers were afraid that if people would go to those meetings, they won't come back to your church. Well, they shouldn't if you're going to fight it. If you're going to fight something good that's happening, you know, if you're going to fight good, nobody should go there. Amen. And they did. They fought good. Ministers fought. They didn't like it. See, they became like the Pharisees. Maybe I'll lose my job. No, you'll probably finally get in the right one after all these years. The move of God will set you in a place, and that's what you want. We want a move of God. Now, the reason we're doing all this, there's a purpose in this. Because, see, there is a move of God that is going, but many don't see it. And one of the things that I'm sure, I'm going to read you something here. And this actually came from FoxNews.com. I'm shocked. I was shocked it came through Fox News, but I really appreciate that they put this out. It wasn't like at the top of the thing where they were doing, I don't know if they did it on their news channels or not or anything like that. But this thing about what's going on, because there are things going on. There's moves of God. There's things that are happening. And this was an article written by a guy named Nick Hall. Now, let me say who Nick Hall is. Because of going in to read this, I really appreciate this guy. We'll see why as we go on here. But Nick Hall is the visionary of the Together Movement, author of Reset, and the founder of Pulse, a ministry at the center of the largest millennial-led prayer and outreach effort in the world. It says, Nick has shared the gospel with nearly 4 million students. He is president and CEO of the Table Coalition and sits on the board of the National Association of Evangelicals. But then when you read this about him, what I like about this, see, here's a guy that could sit at the top and blow his horn, but he doesn't, as we read the article. He doesn't. You know a lot, be used a lot, but you gotta still know. This guy understands the move of God. See, most people most people that get educated lose that. Most Christians that get educated lose being able to see the move of God. They look everything through what they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What they know. And here, I want to read you a story, because we need to hear these things. Revival has broken out at Asbury University. The students haven't stopped meeting for 2 days. I received this text from a friend who has heard me use this term, revival. I don't use this term lightly, but what God seems to be doing is unprecedented. Now, I want to see this, because this term revival used. Because, see, I've been around already, people with churches saying they're having a revival, and 2 days later, they ain't got nothing. You know, they have something that happens, has been more of an emotional experience. Does it qualify for Bible revival? God lays out keys of what revival really is. God, the Bible tells you. And if you don't have certain things, you ain't got a revival. You got an emotional experience. See, we got to have more than that. He says, now listen, he goes on to say, we saw 2,000 students repent of sin and turn to Jesus. He said, last week, through events at the University of Georgia, Minnesota, Texas Tech, and Wisconsin, Iowa, and he said, North Dakota. He said, I've been doing evangelism for 20 years. He said, I was trained and traveled with Billy Graham and Louis Palau. He says, these are the highest percentages of response to the healing, redeeming message of Jesus that I've ever seen. Could this be revival? Now, in other words, his 20 years of ministry doing this, being around Billy Graham, and us, he said this is the most that he's seen on campuses, stuff starting. Now, he goes on to say here, he said, it's easy to be skeptical. He said, we live in an age of hype. And celebrity faith leaders, many will question and criticize, but it always takes faith to believe instead of doubt. It's a good one. What if God is moving on these campuses and at Asbury University? He said, I got home. Now, this Asbury University, it's a Christian university. It's a Christian university. But see, it's one of the things that you remember that I said would happen, what the Lord told me back in 1991. When he gave me the message, we went over again the thing that he did, from 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, where God showed and told me. See, one thing was Elijah, when the fire came down, the Lord told me, he said, when after the fire fell down, he said, then they put to death the prophets of Baal. And the Lord said, concerning the representation, he said, the fire will fall and the church Christians will put away their sin. Yeah, well, praise God. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? See, we need to understand, we're trying to reach the world when God's trying to reach the church. If God reaches the church, the world is a cinch. Because after the fire fell and they put away sin, then the rain came. See, when the rain comes, it's harvest. It's going to be harvest. There's going to be a harvest. And the Lord told me, he said, there'll be a harvest. There'll be a harvest. The rain will come. The rain will come. So praise God. And so here it is. God is reaching in. And here, I want you to get a hold of this. Because if you folks have heard me say this, God will reach out to this younger generation. He's going to reach out to them because they have been neglected by the so-called Christianity and people of other generations. They're just too bad. The colleges are too evil of a place for God to move. It's just too evil. Too much bad. Too much. Oh my. Somebody should have informed God. He didn't know. Nobody told him. You just got to get better communication. I can see this. God must not be on the internet. He would have heard this. Hallelujah. So he said, what if God is moving on these campuses and at Asbury University? And he says, I got home to Minnesota exhausted last week, but incredibly stirred to travel to Kentucky. He said, because that's where this is in Kentucky. He said, I'm a husband and father of three. And leaving my family again over my few days is not ideal. But he said, my bride looked at me in the eyes and said, you have to go. And he said, in 1970, he said, a revival broke out in the same place at Asbury University. He said, in Hughes Auditorium, it became the chapel. He said, the students kept worshiping and praying for 144 hours. He said, I first read about Asbury 1970 revival when I was 18 years old. And he said, in a freshman college, he said, I preached and prayed for it to happen again for 22 years. He wanted to have it happen again. Now he says, without a revival, he said, we stay in our sins. This is what people even are trying to straighten out. Christians are trying to straighten out their lives by intellectual ideas and philosophies and programs and 12-step programs trying to straighten out. We need a move of God. See, it's one thing. The anointing of God will change you.
Amen.
When the anointing came on Saul, it said he became a different man. We have too many Christians, they ain't different from nothing. They've been Christians without anointing. They've been Christians without God's hand. We need a move of God. I need a move of God. I need a move of God. What's in my heart and what I want, I can't do. It'll bring change to you. People fight. I've seen this in revival. People fighting, Christians fighting to change. And the revival comes. You step into the anointing of God and it changes you. What you worked hard to change, it changes. God working in people. See, we don't, there has to, well, how did that happen? Well, let's start a program. See, this happened to me, so let's start this. No, get the anointing. Anointing of God. Hallelujah. So, it says, without revival, we stay in our sins. It's God's method of revealing himself, and it's been a God-ordained vehicle used throughout the histories of the church. He said the revival is still happening, 4 days and counting. He said the text messages kept coming. I began my pilgrimage, he said, to Wilmore, Kentucky, on Monday. Could this be real? What I found shocked me. He said, in an age of sensational encounters, what's happening at, he said, in the Hillsbury Auditorium is incredibly simple, humble, and ordinary. See, that's one of people are looking today, they want the sensational. And they don't see God, nor do they see the Holy Spirit. See, there isn't a single known, he said, figure on the platform. No big names on the platform. My God. Didn't I tell you people? See, these moves of God are not going to come through them. Why? Because God will get the glory. When God moves, we aren't going to say, look what I did. These are the unknown. Didn't I talk about this? I talked about this for years. This move of God's coming. And it's not going to be the big name. It's going to be God. Jesus will be the big name. It's going to be a lot of disappointed preachers. A lot of people want a big name. See, hey, that's the culture of America. And that culture's in the church. They want to be the name above every name. It's about our name, not about us. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, could this be real? Well, he said, what I found shocked me in an age of sensation. He said, what's happening in Hughes? God is incredible. It's simple. It's humble. It's ordinary. There isn't a single known figure on the platform. It's students leading the way alongside a few campus ministers. It's raw worship, Bible reading and exhortation and repentance. Oh, that dirty word. Who would ever think? Now listen, basically this thing started among Christians. It's repentance. P.C. Nelson said this. P.C. Nelson, I mean, he knew some things about God. He had a wonderful ministry. P.C. Nelson said, you couldn't get a move of God in a church. He said, generally, he said, we would preach sometimes 9 to 12 weeks, he said, till you could get the church to repent before any major things started happening and people started coming from the outside and getting saved. You got to get the church to repent. See, we've lost this. There's loads of things that are in no knowledge in the church world today, have no knowledge of, that people of the past walked in with God. We think we're a generation that knows more than the people. There's many past who knew the move of God. Today, all we have is knowledge. This last day move of God is about the Word and the Spirit. Most Christians know very little about this move of the Spirit. They don't know nothing about it. It's all about that. We've made the Bible into a legalistic book. We've just made it into a legalistic book of do's and don'ts. And we're telling people, don't do this, don't do that, and we're doing it. I won't go over and read to you in Romans the second chapter what Paul wrote about people who judge somebody else and do it themselves. We won't read that one today, will we? Okay. But he said he's moving now. Jesus is calling now. His love is here. No, that was at the end. But listen, he said, listen, what happened? Confession broke out numerous times. The crowd would listen and speak out. The blood of Jesus forgives me. The altar, he says, the altars were full night and day, wet with tears from young and old, with multiple ethnic, multiracial, and multigenerational. Now, I want to say, see, I was born and raised in the 1950s during the healing revivals of the 1950s and saw some things. Moves of God that I have never seen today. Things. And I've talked to you guys about it. When I was a kid, and I mean a little kid, I remember sitting in a pew of church, and this happened more than once. You'd see it time and time again. The power of God, it was a move of God. It was not a move of man generated by man. It wasn't some new theology or new ideas or a new thing about doing this or doing that. It was God moving. And it was undoubtedly God. But conviction would fall on a people so strong. I mean, grown men would just wail out and cry and run to the altars. This is the power of God. We don't have these things today. We're trying to... this intellectual things. We're going to... give me a course on how to reach people for Jesus. Well, if you don't know how you got there, why does somebody have to give you a course? You don't know how you got saved? You don't know how to tell somebody, hey, I know where Harrisburg is and I can tell somebody how to get there. That's good preaching anyhow, Ed. My God, this is good. He said, the crowds kept flooding. He said, I didn't want to leave, but felt a burning that we need this back home, every home. He said, upwards of 5,000 people, he said, flooded Wilmore. He said, there were traffic jams. Hungry souls, he said, filling the venues and the front lawn. He said, I talked with Max, he said, the gas station attendant. He said, he grew up sheikh in Asia. Now, the sheikh, I don't know if you've ever been around a sheikh. That's the ones that wear the turbans and stuff on their head. They carry those, they have a ritualistic knife that they carry, a little curved thing and stuff. I've talked to some of those already, those people. This is what he was. Now, this is the guy says, he says he grew up sheikh, but said he's overwhelmed by God's love hitting his community. This guy, he picks it up. And this is what he said, do you think I can go? I told him that he needs to go. See, there's that move. What they're doing down there in an auditorium is reaching out in the, God is not confined to where we're at.
Amen.
Unless we can try to confine him, but you can't. If you try to confine him, he'll do what he's done to many churches today. He has left. He's left. I want you to understand this. And this is why we need to understand the move of God and what's going on. The church in Ephesus was considered, and preachers preach all the time, this wonderful church in Ephesus and the wonderful revelation that was written to them. Jesus didn't talk so wonderful about them. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, said to that church they left their first love. He was the only church that he said this. He didn't even say this to the scoundrels over there that he said he's outside still knocking on the door. He told them if they don't get right about this, their first love thing, he said, I'm going to remove your candlestick from its place. I'm going to remove your lamp. It's actually the word's lampstand from its place. In other words, your church ain't going to exist no more. And why was this? It was about Jesus. See, they got down and got all the theology right, but Jesus wasn't on top of the list. They're all smart now. They all knew what to do and what don't do. Jesus will always visit those who love Jesus. Do you first go try to visit the people that don't really care for you, want you around? Is that who you say, we're going to go today. This guy over town hates me. We're going to go to him. We're going to go. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Ed. Anyhow. He said, now listen, this is a wonderful thing. Because see, these are what the signs of revival were. Number one, revival is outside of who's in the church. Revival starts reaching out. God starts touching people's hearts. We haven't even said anything to you. You'll know it's revival. We're having revival. I see people that are getting moved by God. I see Christians who have been away from Christianity feel a need just now. You know, they feel God's dealing with them. They feel God's starting to deal with them. He said, I met a teenager named Michael carrying his skateboard, telling me that while he isn't a Christian, the meetings, he said, at Asbury are cool. And he said, I can feel the love of God. Now, here's a sinner. I can feel the love of God. Now, you're a Christian. You shouldn't have to be sitting around. I want to feel the love of God. It's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You ought to get in contact with it. Amen. You should have gotten contact with it by now. See, this is what a lot of Christians are looking for. This is what the Christian wants. That's not about revival. Revival is about us coming to the knowledge of who we are and our need for Christ and getting His anointing. And the world needs to feel and see something. They need more than somebody just talking Jesus is nice. Prove it. If you can't prove it, stay home. That's why we lay hands on the sick. That's why we do, God does it. It's to not disprove the church. The church is running around trying to get it proved to them. We shouldn't have to have it proved to us. God is good. And I've done noted. I know it's in me. I know the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Hallelujah. He ain't got to try to convince me. One day He did. But He don't have to anymore. I went from faith saved by faith, but now I know.
Amen.
Most Christians never leave saved by faith. No, John wrote about it. Go read 1 John. We know we passed on death and life. I don't believe I passed from death and life. I know it.
Amen.
I know it. Woo! Glory to God, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Most Christians are still trying to be saved by faith. No, I was there, and now I'm the knowing guy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's where you come to the place. I know I passed from death and life. I know the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost because I got a conscience that bothers me when I don't walk in love. Hallelujah. Because it's shed abroad in my heart. Hallelujah. I didn't have that when I wasn't saved. If I didn't walk in love, I didn't care. And somebody said, you shouldn't have done that. I'd have treated them, do to them, whatever they did mad about. I'd have done it to them. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm excited about this. But see, the hand of God, he said, I met others impact. He said, they were there from Hawaii, Boston. He said, California. He goes, from across the nation, people were flocking to encounter Jesus. See, people want an encounter. We want an encounter. There needs to be an encounter. Not just somebody telling words. God loves you. I was always big on this. Well, if he does, prove it. I said, you know, these people tell me, you know, when I was a young kid, and I've told this story many times, when I was a young kid, the minister in our church, there was a pastor. He was a young man. At that time, he was 45 years old. He died of cancer. One of the nicest men you would ever want to meet in your life. He was enormous. He was about 6'6", probably weighed 250 pounds, and he was a farmer, his own muscle, you know. He wasn't no fat on that boy. He didn't look like me. He was, but the nicest man, and you know, we got to know him very well, and his kids, we would play with his kids and that stuff. He had kids that were our age, and we would play together. He got cancer, and I'll never forget this. Them saying he got cancer. See, they didn't believe in God doing anything. They believed God did it. They said God took him for a reason. And as a young boy, I began to hate God. This guy serves you. He walks for you. He does for you. And you kill him? We got to put up with the rest of the idiots here? Why didn't you kill them? Why do you leave the idiots here, the stupid preacher that nobody can stand, and you leave, you take the good guy? I was 11, I was a little kid. I had more sense than the adults did. They would all sit around, yeah, the Lord had a reason. That's what God did? Jesus lied. The thief don't come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He did. He lied. And see, I begin hate. I see how hatred starts. God's a thief. You can't trust him. I don't want to walk too close to God because if I get close, he'll kill me. Folks, you see this stuff? Don't think this, the world hasn't heard us saying these stupid things. Don't think the world doesn't know. God wants to manifest himself and bring his love into manifestation. He wants people to know he's a lover. He's not what they lied about him. He's not. You ain't going to have much of a revival getting up telling people God wants to kill them. I became fearful of God. But what happens? This young man we had here, what happens? He can tell God's doing something down there. A guy from another religion can tell that the love of God has showed up in his town. Man, I want to be a river and not a dam. Much of the church has been a dam. It's not been a river. I don't want to block it up somewhere. I don't want to hold it. There's more than anybody can hold.
Amen.
Let's let it flow.
Hallelujah.
Let's let this thing go. Hallelujah. Listen what this young man said. He said, I can feel the love of God. Now he said this. He's closer to trusting Jesus, but he's counting the cost. Oh, that's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't even at the meetings. And God's got a cross to him to count. See, Jesus said you're supposed to count the cost.
Mm-hmm.
See, we know this is signs of the Word of God working. This is revival. People count the cost. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We try to get people who don't want Jesus yet, try to get them to make a confession, which don't amount to nothing. People, see, God dealt with me. When God dealt with me when I got saved 30 years old, God dealt with me accounting the cost. I dealt with a long time because I knew this. You know, I was drunk and did drugs and all this stuff. And I hated Christians, didn't like them. I'd seen all the nonsense, didn't want to have anything to do with it. I thought everybody was it. They were all insane. Found out they weren't all insane. It was just a good portion. Anyhow, they had crazy ideas about God. But I found out through a minister, I read his book, and it's funny because, see, this is the whole thing. See, God will visit people where they're at. This is why you got to understand. I was involved in sorcery. That's what I was into, that big time, into sorcery. I could get demonic powers to manifest. You know, and ask my wife about it. I ain't lying. We had a house and the devil showed up. You know, he was all right till I got saved, and he wasn't all right anymore. He got pretty mad about things. But the whole thing of it was, I've always believed in the operation of the spirit realm. To me, that was a big thing. And I saw that the church, that was no more than talk. They didn't really believe it, because you let anything happen in the spirit realm or something happen, they criticize it. well, that's just some kind of hocus pocus. That's just, you know, somebody lay hands on somebody, they get healed. Well, that's just some hocus pocus. Well, Jesus was Mr. Hocus Pocus then. He's the guy that started the hocus pocus jump. They start going through all that stuff. They start doing those kind of things. Well, I was over in that stuff. I mean, I was in there. And the thing it was is coming to the church. The first thing God, because see, this I knew. See, this is something the Holy Spirit said to me as a sinner. Said this. You can't be a closet Christian. There's no such thing.
Amen. Preach.
That's what he told me. Now see, people say, well, some people are closet Christians. No, they aren't. They ain't got saved yet. There's loads of them. There's people who were saved and walked and lived it. They backslid and they went off. But there's no closet Christians. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before people, he said, I won't confess you before the Father.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Amen.
And so I knew this. Now here's God. He said, is he trying to chase me away? No. He's telling me there are qualifications to come to Christ, of faith. There's qualifications to it. See, people say this, God loves you unconditional. Could you please show me that in the scripture? Give me the scripture that says God loves you unconditional. There's conditions to salvation. That is said all the time. I can turn around and turn on the radio and I will bet the preacher, like I don't, you know, watch TV preachers much or anything like that if I watch it. But anyhow, radio. I'll drive around day, run errands and do stuff, and I'll have this station on their preacher. And I just hear preacher after preacher telling people that God loves you unconditional. Know why people think that everybody's going to heaven? You don't need to repent. There's no conditions with God. Yes, there is.
Amen.
This young man senses the Spirit of God, and he fears he has to make a choice what he wants, this world or Jesus. See, that's what I found. That's what I found. God started, he said, there's condition to this. There's condition to this. And I knew this. When I go back to work, the group that I hated, I'm going to have to walk in love with. The people that I ran around with, I can't run around with them no more if they're going to stay in those areas.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about hating them. I preach to all of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you, lost all my friends. I lost all my friends. See, most people, these are the things they want. I even found family got real nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Family got real nervous. Especially the ones that were sort of mediocre Christians. They, you know, because when I came in, I got real quick. There's one thing about it. If I'm going to go in to do something, I'm going to do it. I've always been like, you're going to do it. I don't know any other way. If you're going to do it or go sit down and keep your mouth shut. You know, get in and do it. Don't tell anybody people you're something you ain't. Don't tell people you're something you have no interest in. See, I was never the guy. I never liked to sit and just watch sports. And I was never like that because nobody, if I ain't going to participate, I just don't like to watch other people run around doing stuff. If I want to watch somebody doing for God, hey, I'll cheer you on. I'll be your best cheerleader. But just watching these things, you know, let me in the game or, you know. You know, I ain't going to cheer for you like crazy. I don't get no nickels out of it. Hey, you pay me, I'll cheer you. Understand this. I work for God and He rewards me.
Amen.
He's not some cheapskate.
Amen. Preach.
You get in His game. It's the best game you ever got into.
Amen.
Best game you've ever been in your life.
Amen.
His game. And that's what you want to do. You want to get in His game. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder. He don't have some kind of phony system. So, you know, to me, it took me months before I accepted Christ because I had to sit down. Am I going to stay with this? Do I set myself to stay in this? Do I set myself? I wasn't a fire insurance Christian. That's what it was. It wasn't, well, I want to get to heaven. I don't want the wrath of God on me. I thought, no, I'm going to go this way. And so I started. And I really, when I read these things, I thought, this is move of God. This is what God does in revival. See, I came to Christ during a time of revival. In fact, we have numbers of people at that time, and hundreds of people in Reese Candy Company that I knew around got saved during that time period. And it wasn't because we had some great preachers. God visited the factory. I'm serious. People were getting under conviction of things. And it wasn't preachers. Nobody preached to me. The people that used to preach, try to preach to me, they were scared to death of me. Because I'd cuss them out loud. I would just, you know, didn't matter to me. But now, I'm going to be the preacher. Woo! But there's one thing, though. I want to tell you, our salvation should make a mark in our life. Because I'm going to tell you, people saw a changed man, not a just a religious man. They saw a changed man, a man who was different. There's people didn't like it, but they respected it because they knew it was real.
Amen.
How did it happen? Well, it wasn't Ed. It was the salvation that was given to me by God. I actually got born again. I became a new creation.
Hallelujah.
I actually got a changed life. I couldn't have drummed it up. I didn't make some kind of just moral change of life. I became a different person. And I always tell you, that's why Wanda told me she got saved. She was saved after me. And she came and told me one night, come home from work, she said, I accepted Christ. I said, why did you accept Christ? Because the Lord had told me to let her alone. She didn't trust me. And he was right. She shouldn't have trusted me. I was an idiot. But she said, I'm living with a different man. See, I don't know. I have no idea about somebody get born again and don't have a changed life. I can't relate to it. I didn't have some wonderful thing and goosebumps that night I accepted Jesus. It was a changed life that I got. It was so different. You almost pinch yourself. I think, why am I have no desire for this anymore, and now I want to do this over here. What is going on here? And I say, this was like, whoo, this is different.
Thank you, Lord.
This is a different thing. What happened? Well, what happened was Jesus. I had happened to me what Jesus did when he was raised from the dead. That's what happened to me. See, the power of God changes a person.
Amen.
See, they're having a revival. These are the marks of these things. He goes on. I want to just say, he said, we talked about life. He said he went in. What he did is he went down. He went into a sports bar. Now, some people might get, you know, I've went into bar. I used to do street ministry years ago. We used to go into bars and preach. We'd go to bars, talk to people. Now, we didn't go in there. We'd get out and sit and talk to people, just ask them about their life and whatever, and ask them, you know, some things to talk to people. You don't go in there and run them down and that stuff. They're lost, you know. A lot of them know it. Run them down, they ain't going to change that whole thing. Don't think you're better than them. The only difference is, it's like I had a minister from South Africa, very large church, huge large church in South Africa. He said he went to speak at some convention. He said he went to this convention. He said he was, after he's speaking and that stuff that night, he went to the elevator to go up to the hotel room, his hotel room. He said a guy walked in and he said he was just sloppy drunk, stumbling around, said, fell down. And he said, and I was just sitting there just like in disgust at this guy. And the Spirit of the Lord, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and says, the only difference between you and him is me. See, we need to watch. See, I don't like all this talk and stuff and this run-down stuff and things we're going. I hate to hear the conservatives' message running everybody down because, well, they're doing this ugly stuff. Well, shut up. We know they're doing ugly. But why do you do ugly? See, we're not gonna reach people with this, you know, having to respond to everybody. Our response has to be love.
Amen.
We gotta look at the unsaved. I feel so sorry for our president, because if he don't get saved, he's 80 years old. He has one foot in the grave, and it ain't a good grave, folks. Amen. Do you realize he's going to hell? Amen. What's more important, getting a guy following the Constitution or get a guy saved? Well, the church, it's get the Constitution. That's the most important thing. He needs to follow our principles. No, he needs saved.
Amen.
Jesus will change you. That's what Jesus does. He changes people. But he said, concerning this one, he's talking to these two women. He says, we talked about life, and he said the struggles of the past 2 years. He said, I listened to their story of leaving strict families and coming to Lexington for graduate school. He said, they asked me why I had come to town. He said, I shared my faith story and what was happening. One of these kind ladies said, my mom has been messaging me about this. Maybe we should go. Hallelujah. See, where the move of God is, You know, people sit back and criticize. You know, one of the great shames of this is what, and a thing that there are people, and we want to stay away from. During moves of God, and I want to just share this, because we're going to talk about these things more, about these things of we begin to see concerning the move of God. People, one thing, see, that I loved about this is the fact he just said, this is a raw move of God. Here's a guy who has the credentials to be put him in charge. And he's like, no, this is really good. This is God moving here. You stay away from it. See, John G. Lake talked about the greatest move and revival that's been known on the planet Earth was not Billy Graham. It was John G. Lake in South Africa. Most phenomenal. Most phenomenal man. John G. Lake went up to Spokane, Washington after he came back to America. John G. Lake had a place called the Healing Rooms. And they would have people come and pray for the sick. He had documented through doctors, he went through all the same, 100,000 people were healed. People who were given up by doctors to die went there and went to his healing rooms. Would go there and he would pray for them. The United States government designated Spokane as the healthiest city in the United States. The government noticed it. My God, see, you need a move of God. You need something. We want to get the government to notice. And all we're doing is playing their political game, giving our money to people to go down there and, you know, yell at them and do all kind of stuff. This is what we're doing. No, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to send God down there and talk to him. I want things to happen in America that they can't knock down. See, there's phenomenal things that go on. But John G. Lake said this about South Africa. He said, the revival ended when America and England and them started sending their leaders down to Oregon. They had, you got to organize this. You know, see, God's not good enough. You need people to run this thing. You know, God started it, but we need to. We're the guys. And he said it killed the revival. There's a revival coming. And I'm going to tell you what. There are people who want to go put their hand on. If you're led to go to a place where there's going, just go and enjoy the flow. Amen. Just go and sit and get the anointing on you. Amen. Don't worry about everything being doctrinally in line with the way you think. It may not be. God is moving. Sinners don't know. They ain't been taught anything yet. They don't know. But they get saved. A lot of times they get so happy they don't know what to do with. You know, there's thousands and thousands of pastors today in America who came out of the hippie movement when a revival moved in California back in those days. And they came to Christ. And boy, people, well, that can't be God because, you know, they don't look like me and they don't look like this and they don't look, you know. You know, God might reach the tattooed man, you know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he might preach. Get over it. But he ain't going to be out putting more tattoos on him after he does.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you that.
Amen.
Why? This marking ourselves and doing all this crazy stuff, this is to draw attention to ourselves. We got to stop this. Jesus needs to be noticed.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. If God wants to put you in the front of something, you let him put you in the front of something. You don't try to get to the front of something. Amen. Trying to get to the front of something. See, and people will try. There'll be leaders who will try to get their hands in on this stuff, yep. To try to get. Well, we're gonna bring it in under our thing. It'll die. See, that's what happened down in Lakeland, Florida.
Yep.
There was a. I went down in the beginning. It was a raw revival. It was a move of God, and then the leaders came and the so-called prophets and the this and that. I believe in prophets, but just like in the Bible, the majority are usually idiots. They're saying their own story.
Yep.
Ain't saying what God's saying. I believe in the prophet's ministry because it's listed in the New Testament as one of the gifts of God, the prophet. I mean, Paul didn't know that. It's a message. But we need to understand, these people came along and they started bringing control and their ideas of how things should be. And the devil got in. And it killed a revival. The devil came and killed a revival. Man always trying to organize everything. See, that's the American way. You know, we got to get it organized and self-stop. We got to get organized so we get all the checks coming into the same place. You know, we got to get, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Somebody might not send me their money. Might send it over there to somebody else. Oh yeah, this is good preaching, folks. I've been around the block a few times. I've run into some big names that if I said today I've had personal contact with, I wouldn't give you a nickel for them. Because you know what? They say right things and preach right things, but that's not what they are. It's not what they are. But I'm just like Paul. Well, praise God, Christ is preached. Some just doing it for money. Some are just doing it for money. Paul had it in his day. They were just doing it. What I want you, there's a move of God. Now, in ending to this, you know, God spoke to me about this and talking about this today. Because, you know, this is the thing we're looking at. What is God doing? How can we hook up and cooperate with God? That's what we want to know. I know about you, that's what I want to know. I wonder how I cooperate with God. I do believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. And I do believe there's been people who've said that the Lord told them, and I believe it's right. He said this last move of God is going to be a quick one. It's going to be very quick, and then Jesus will return. Would not surprise me at all. I don't think it's going to go on for on and on and on and on for a long period of time. There's going to be a powerful call. It's beginning. This morning I was at 1:10 this morning. My phone went on the thing, and I looked and I had a text because I thought it was strange, and I just felt to look at it because sometimes it goes, I don't look at it. I'm not one of those people that, wow, my phone is incredible. I just got to have that thing. I can easily go away and don't have it, forget it. They said, we can't get a hold of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But anyhow, phone went, Ken Kasich says, he said, him and his wife been praying about. He said, he's going to be heading back over to Estonia. He said, there's a Holy Ghost blowout. That's what he called it. Now the Kasichs, they were there in Estonia for 32 years. They came back here to the United States. But he said, he's heading back over. There's a move of God. And I thought it was interesting because, now look, this is what the Holy Spirit said. It isn't what Ed said. I had told him back when they were still living in the country, when they were talking about leaving, coming back to America. And I said to them, I said, you need, because this was something the Holy Spirit showed me. I said, you need to leave because God wants to pour out His Spirit there. Now you need to understand this. Leaders sometimes can be a hamper to a move of the Spirit. Not because the leader is bad. It's because people keep their focus on the leader. He's God's second cousin at least. You know, you got to stay close to him. You know, if you want to get the blessing, got to stay close to him. And so it's from people's standpoint. I said, you need to leave. I said, when you leave, God is going to move among those people. And I said, it isn't going to be just in Estonia. I said, it's going to reach over to Russia. They're right next door on the border of Russia. And I said, there's a revival coming and it's going to move over there. I said, that's what the Lord said to me. And I told him that. And now, they're having a break. There's a break and forth coming. It's coming. This is God's working. God's moving among people. Why? It's so we can't brag of who's the big guy did this. It's not about the worship of men. This is why it can't go. People begin to worship the guy. You know, ministers have become TV personalities and not ministers. Their TV personality. People, even when they want to do right, people, it's their entertainment. They got to have it. They got to look at it. They got to see it. They got to this thing. They can't read the Bible for themselves anymore. They walk around and talk, well, so-and-so said. I really get a kick out of these people. Come, well, so-and-so said. And I say, well, what did the Bible say? Well, I have no clue. Well, so-and-so. Well, he must know more than you. He has a bigger ministry. This is what people think. Well, I say, you'd have never liked Jesus. I said, man, after died and raised from the dead, he can only get 120. He revealed himself to 500 people and he only get 120 of them. A dead guy comes back to life and can only get 120 people to show up at a prayer meeting. Say, don't tell me about people. I know them. They treat Jesus that way, I probably wouldn't get 10. Folks, this is good preaching. Hallelujah. But I just want to know what you are. God in you is big.
Amen.
And God in others is big. Whom God made you may surprise you. It's still, to this day, I talk to God about, why have you chosen me? Why would you? Wouldn't you have had a few better choices? Wouldn't there have been a couple other guys? Why? See, it doesn't make sense to me. Because when I look, I think there's people who have more talent. I think there's people who are better. I'm just blunt when I talk. That's me. See, I got over this thing with the Lord about that. That was one of the things that I got talking about. I said, I can't see myself, as you say, concerning as a minister and being a pastor. I said, and I told him, because see, when I went to Bible school, and I wasn't in pastor's classes. I didn't go. God sent me to missions classes. I wanted to go on a mission field. Oh, man, I got over there on a mission, and I went out on a mission field. I loved it. I loved it. And the Lord said, I called you to pastor. I want you to pastor. And I didn't want to hear that. Well, you know, and I kept hearing this. Yeah, I was supposed to start a church. And I thought, oh, God, start a church. Man, I'd rather start a fight. So, you know, I just had a hard time with it. And I said to the Lord, I said, I read the book. I think, because even though you went to school, they gave you books and stuff that you got from other ministries. And one of them, they gave us this book about pastoring and stuff. And I sat down and I read this book. And I said, Lord, I read the book. I said, the Bible school, they gave us this book on pastoring. And I said, I read the book. I said, I can't see me on one page of this book. I said, it ain't me. It's not what I am. So, you know, see, now I think I got myself an out here, you know. This is one thing. See, you gotta watch this. This is exactly, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to just make a story. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. I heard it rose up inside of me clearly. He said, would you throw that book away? He said, I used that man like that, and he wrote a book like everybody else is supposed to do what he did. He said, I know who you are and what you are. And he said, the place that you're at, you need to be that, what you are. Well, I didn't understand some of that for you. I didn't understand. I thought, well, you know, all these guys, and I'd get around other pastors, and it was all this peachy and peaching at each other's cheeks and all, how, you know, sweet and stuff we are. But I found this out, and I didn't know. As Kenneth Hagin told us. He said, God had to start a Bible school, but he said, the Bible school was not God's perfect will for the church. I thought, what? We've got all these Bible schools. No, he said, the Lord told him this. He said, the church was supposed to raise up the ministers, but he said, they don't teach them and train them. You know, see, we're training cupcakes today. Mm-hmm. We're not, hey, Paul told Timothy he's supposed to be a good soldier. Mm-hmm. We raise up soldiers today. You know what? You need to be a soldier in the ministry.
Amen. Preach.
You need to know enough to keep some people alive around you. And we don't.
That's right.
Raising up soldiers. He said, I wanted the church to raise them up, but he said, they're not doing it. He said, the Lord told him, I ought to start Bible schools because the church won't do. Mm. See, the church, it isn't just having a school. You know, the congregation's supposed to hear some meat instead of this stuff. God loves you all the time. Well, sure, God loves you, but you may get run over by the truck.
Right.
You're playing in the road. Oh, God will take you to heaven after you get hit. He loves you. But that isn't His will for your life. See, we have to understand that we need to hear. When I first got born again, in January 1980, in February 1980, the Lord said to me, if you do not learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Mm-hmm. 20 years later, on a February, the Lord said to me, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. Now, it doesn't mean that they're bad. They haven't learned how to be led by the Spirit. Why? They're not taught in the church. The minister don't know.
That's right.
He can't give you what he don't know.
That's right.
He can't show you.
Mm-hmm.
A minister should never leave school. He should be the number one studier in his country. Because, you know, Jesus said, you'll go no further than your teacher. What can we say of the Church of America today? And we act like we got all these great teachers now. No. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you'll be just an information passer offer. You'll just take the book. You'll get book reports every time you stand up. But you have no encounter with God. I'm going to tell you what, I've encountered God. I have walked in things. I know. I have had it upon me. I know to have the anointing on me and not on me, and I like it on me.
Thank you, Lord.
I didn't understand it at first as a baby Christian. Kenneth Hagin said, when you get the anointing on you, he said, it's like a drug. You just want it again. And I know what he's talking about. I got the anointing on me and now that drug. It's like when we're trying to do things without the anointing. See, we don't know about praying and waiting for God. And I know we're going long, but waiting on God till the anointing comes. Many things, we're this quick praying about stuff. Sometimes you just got to pray, wait on God till the anointing comes to deal with it. There's times that I found out when the anointing came, then I spoke, then I prayed, then I said, then I told God, God, the word says, and this is what you're going to do. See, the anointing, see, it's about God in us backing us up. It's not about me just stepping out there. Nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw them. And I listened to a preacher, heard him say it this morning, a guy in this town, about how we lead people to Christ. No, we don't. We just tell them the message, and God draws people to Jesus.
Amen.
It requires God. We have led loads. Churches are filled with people we say are Christians and saved, and they've never been born again. They have accepted. They have a nice life, and they've just come over and joined this thing. When push goes to shove, they like the world too much. See, I want to move God. I want to move a God like it's going along among these young people.
That's right.
I want God to visit people.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, there's a glorious church leaving.
Amen.
There's a glorious church going to leave when Jesus comes.
Hallelujah.
There's a glorious church, and it ain't going to be a play church.
Right.
It ain't going to be the place. Yeah, we know all the rules. We know all the stuff. I'll tell you, people getting hungrier and hungrier for God. See, if you find out you're hungrier,
Amen.
That's God.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't preach my word. You don't want me to go there. God's word will draw. God will draw. God is working. It requires God. When Elijah went on the mountain and the fire came, it required God to move to turn God's people back to him. The message wasn't enough. The anointing of God was needed. God showed up and they knew this. Because Elijah prayed and said, God, let them know that this is not me doing this. This is you turning their hearts back to you. So he said, God, you show up. Say, God, give me some really great words to say that, oh no, I'm really smart. So you know, God, you show up. See, don't you want God to show up? Why don't you ask him? Hallelujah. Say, God, I love you, but I'll tell you, I want you to show up in this situation. I want God, these people, hey, the people in the world need to see God.
Amen.
Did Jesus come? Why? God didn't send a book. God sent someone they could see. God sent one who demonstrated. That's what God sent. The church has become satisfied with educational teaching. There's got to be some seeing for the world. People need. There's so Christians out here so messed up. They need to see some things.
Amen.
They're skeptical about. They have been told and told and told and told and told how good God is, but they haven't run into any of it, and they haven't seen it. Now we may be able to find fault with things that they're doing, but I'm going to tell you what: you give them an encounter with God, and it'll change. I want an encounter with God. I want a revival that changes people's lives. I want a move of God that we don't stay the same.
Hallelujah.
If God has a move and you come out the same way you went in, you wasted your whole time on that thing. It wasn't God. God has never had a move like that. God has never had a move like that. We see patterns in the Old Testament, even in the book of Judges. God moved through an individual, and he did. He moved and would manifest himself and do things. Sometimes it would change the nation for 40 years. One move of God would change the nation for 40 years. Can you imagine? It would be nice to get one of those changes, wouldn't it? No, that's right. One move of God, and it changed the nation for 40 years. See, that's why I want God to show up. He can do what we cannot. He gives us a part to play. Let's find out our part to play. Let's say, here, God, you know, you laborers, if you want to send me, you can send me. If you want me to stay behind and pray and do whatever, give money to the guy that goes, I'll do whatever. Whatever you want me to do. Whatever it be. But I'm going to tell you, even if I want to pray, I want the anointing. I know what it is to pray without it. And I know what it is to pray with it. And I want it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I hope I preached you happy. Glory to God. See, you can participate in this revival. You can be part of what brings this thing. It isn't some guy brings this thing. This is about God. It's about you hooking up. You got God in you. Hallelujah. You have God in you. Hallelujah. We're the temple of God. See, well, I don't feel much like it. God never asked you for what you felt about it. Is he speaking the truth? He says he does. It's one thing as I found out, when I get my mouth in line with what he says, it's amazing what rises up in me.
Amen. That's right.
But see, people, God, rise up in me. See, this is the world. God, rise up and do something, then I'll believe. See, we got to get paid. We're a believer. We say, I'm a believer. Well, what do you believe? Hallelujah. But many believers out here, I mean, have compassion on them because they ain't ever seen nothing.
Yes.
Yep. We are in generations today who have not seen hardly anything. We have had preachers go on and preach all things about faith and about blessing and all this kind of stuff, but we don't see anything going on. Now, when I came into the church back in the 80s, there was loads of demonstrations of God. Whole different ballgame. You know what? That's what reached in. That's what reached into all these other churches and all these other places of people of different denominations. Why? God showed up. It wasn't just talk. It wasn't Jesus loves you. No, Jesus will show up and he'll show his love for you.
Amen.
Woo! What a difference. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, just like our sister gives a testimony. It's one thing to get prayed for, but God shows up. That changes
Amen.
The whole thing.
Amen. Amen.
See, God shows up. See, will God show up for you? He sure will.
Absolutely.
He'll absolutely show up for you. You're his child. He doesn't pick certain ones and say, yeah, I'll do it for them because they're so special. You know, if Billy Graham, I would have done it for him, you know, because he's so special. See, I've heard people say that. Well, you know, he did that for that person. He did this for the person. And I feel so sorry for him when I hear a person say that, a Christian say that. Thinking, man, you ain't never read the Bible. You've only listened to preachers. You never read for yourself to find out if any of that was true. See, God will move through you because you're really good. Well, you can shoot that one in the foot. I taught in a Bible school for 6 years. And I taught the subject of gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing I found out about it. As you study the subject, you preach it. Today, if you get really spiritual, God's going to use you. You get to that place. Well, I'm going to tell you what. We might never get used. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and said, you come behind in no gifts. And then he tells them, I can't talk to you as spiritual. I got to talk to you as carnal. I sit under ministers who talk and say this stuff. Well, we just got to really get spiritual. We got to get this so God can do this and God can do that. God's moving. Our colleges today are a mess, but yet God goes visit.
Amen.
Gee, you got to get spiritual. If God doesn't demonstrate himself, if his power doesn't work on your behalf, you will never get spiritual. You don't arrive at spirituality by your abilities and your knowledge.
Amen.
You rise. The Bible says, and I've been the quoter of this for, I don't know, 40 years. Paul said, the good work that he started in you, he'll bring it to completion. That's my scripture. The good work he started in me, he'll bring it to completion.
Hallelujah.
And my mind says, you're a knucklehead. But you know what? The promise isn't made on my ability. It's on God's.
Amen.
If he doesn't complete me, he's a liar. And he ain't no liar.
Amen.
My God ain't no liar.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't good English, but we're going to say it anyhow. It gets the point across. He don't lie. He said the good thing. He started in you. He'll bring it to completion. See, get over there. See, a lot of people, they leave Christianity. They feel like failures. Why? Because they tried to save themselves. They tried to do this. They're trying to do all this stuff. Man, God, I need your hand on me.
Amen.
God, if you don't move in me, it's just me. How many of you feel like it today? God, if I'm at the end of me. I mean, I got to come to completion. Lord, there's things that just need to be changed. I'm God. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord God, for trying to change all this. Lord, I need your hand. If you don't move, it's just me. Lord, I can't do it without you. I'm telling this all the time. Lord, I can't do it without you. I can't minister the word without you. I could get up and give you a good book report. I can't even follow notes. Good notes. I'll let you read them sometime. They're good. Good notes. Good. I can't follow. But I get up and the Holy Spirit starts to move in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Now he moves me this way. Because there's people who need certain things and he knows what they need. I don't.
Amen.
And he'll start to move me in things people need to hear. Amen. He'll start to move in me to bring out things that people need to know and understand.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of it. Because I don't know what makes you work or what makes you motivated to do what you do. Whether good or bad. Other than if it's good, probably is the Holy Ghost. I would surely imagine. But why people get messed up with things? Why? We don't always know. But we like to try to go put a Band-Aid on it. You know, we're going to throw a Band-Aid. No, we need to get a fix. And the only guy that I know can fix, and his name's Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He's the only fixer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you today here. Hallelujah. Because see, I want God to move on you powerfully. I want God to get in the middle of your situation. When you're praying, and you might be saying, God, you know, help me. This. God, I need your wisdom to show up. I need your glory. I need your power to show up. Whatever it is that you need. God, I need this. See, James wrote and said about he asked for God who gives it liberally without reproach. That word, without reproach, actually means it's the idea that you did something dumb that got you in trouble, and he doesn't hold it against you and gives you wisdom anyhow. So you might be in a situation because you put yourself there. And you know what? God says, you know what? I'll get you out. If you ask me for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you.
Amen.
See, whatever you might not, he wants to be to you what you need. You need power in the situation. Sometimes wisdom is the power that you need at the time. That's what you need, a piece of wisdom of what to do. Sometimes you just need the hand of God. God, Lord, sometimes you're in the place of pressure, and pressure's on. And sometimes, there's ones of you, I don't know, I'm not just saying this, coming out of my spirit. Ones of you, you've been over an area, and you've been oppressed. You've been oppressed. When I'm talking about oppression, you know, one of the days we talk about, they talk about all people being oppressed, and they talk about suicide and all this stuff. We're trying to deal with these things in the natural. This is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
I got a report about a thing demonic with a person. You know, and, you know, people try natural fixes on stuff. It ain't gonna. It's demonic. Demons have been oppressing people and doing things. One thing is, why when people have trouble with their mind, nobody ever gets happy?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Wouldn't you think that if a person, something happened to their brain, that somebody be just gleeful all the time and they'd have to give them a medication to make them so they're not always happy? See, we're dealing with all this stuff, people being oppressive. There's one thing. If any time that you're dealing with an area of your life and you're under pressure of things and stuff like that, there's one thing. You can have some things of natural. Just from a medical standpoint, you could have something happen to your body. But it starts to affect your mind because pressure keeps coming against your mind and thoughts coming against your mind. Lots of times that's the devil. He's doing it. He comes and gets... He always looks for a weakness in us and tries to exploit that. If he can hold your thoughts, he can keep you right where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've learned this from times in Korea. People say, you know, I'm just having bad thoughts. Like, you know, and they act like these are things that are generated by me. Well, they're not. They're not generated by you. thoughts can come to you from a lot of different things. You know, things can happen out here in the natural that you think brings a thought to you and makes you feel bad. All kinds of things. People could say something to you that brings thoughts to you that makes you feel bad. And the devil will surely do it. He will bring oppression. You need to recognize God's not your tormentor.
Amen.
God is not trying to teach you through torment. Do we send our kids to school and say, you teachers, just treat them bad enough, they'll learn something? No, but that's what preachers preach. You really go through a lot of rotten stuff and you really get oppressed. My God, you're going to be a genius. God's working something out. And this is what I always ask, well, what is he working out? And there's always a halt there because they can't tell you what he's working out. Well, we don't know. Well, how can you know when it comes or when it does? How would you know? You don't know. If I went to school and I went off to college and wanted to get a degree in something, you know, and I say, well, I want to get a degree or some educational thing, and I come out with a degree in motel management. Well, was that what I went to school for?
No.
See, how would you know? You see, you got to know. See, we're living in a world that God is doing things secretly. The Scripture tells us that His Spirit is in us to teach us all things.
Mm-hmm.
You can have no faith. Faith is based upon knowledge. There's no such thing as faith without knowledge. Faith comes from hearing the words. You got to know what God said, or you couldn't have any faith. You can't trust what you don't know. How do you do that? I want to figure that one out. How do you trust what you don't know? You see, wrong teaching has led us over and allowed the devil to come and oppress us. Him and Brian come and oppress our minds, make us feel weak, make us feel... See, God's a God of power.
Amen.
He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. Thank you.
It says a sound mind. You know, God gave you a sound mind. You weren't trying to get one. He said he gave you one. Why don't you take his? Why don't you start saying, I want you to do that. I want you to do this. This is not criticism. He wants you to start saying, I have a sound mind. Those words come to you, stuff comes to you, and you think, well, I'm going crazy. See, no, I have a sound mind. I'm not going crazy. God gave me a sound mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Didn't say you're going to get it. People say, we need to get the mind of Christ. Well, preacher, read the Bible. It says you got it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
that's
Lord.
Right.
The Bible says I have the mind of Christ. Sometimes I thought, oh God, I must not be using much of it. Hallelujah. But it says I have it. I'm not trying to get it. See, if I believe I have something, that's what faith is. Faith is believing you receive something, then you have it. We're trying to have it, then believe we got it. I don't take no faith. That's what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
If I see it, then I believe it. If I feel better, then I'll believe I'm healed. You don't need to believe you're healed. The Bible says it. You don't need to believe what you say.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, get over that thing. See, I have a sound mind.
Yeah.
Don't allow the devil to torment you.
Amen.
Don't allow what people say torment you.
Amen. Preach.
Don't allow that stuff. Hallelujah. See, this is many. Some say, well, lay hands on people. Some people just need to know who they are and what they are, what they already have.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got. This is not something somebody's trying. I can't give it to you. God already did. I'd be a liar. You know, I see preachers come along and lay hands on people for stuff and say, well, we're going to pray for God to give you the mind of Christ. Well, that's unscriptural. He didn't know it, but he already did it. No, I'm going to pray for you that you awake to the fact that you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That it's yours. That you're not some old flaky thing. I don't care if you're acting flaky. Hallelujah. That isn't what God created you. Talk about what you were created for, good works. Hallelujah. This is what I'm created for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, you got to make yourself happy. Faith got to stay happy.
Amen.
Or I tell you what, you'll be bawling and saying things you shouldn't be saying. Hallelujah. See, faith will keep you happy. It will. See, the children of Israel couldn't enter the land because the Bible tells us in Hebrews they didn't enter by faith. He didn't enter rest. They didn't come to that place of faith where you get a smile on your face and say, whew, man, the battles. They're here. But hey, God said he's already given it to me. His word says so. His word said he gave me the mind of Christ. The devil says, you're an idiot. Yes, yeah, I'm as dumb as Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, devil. Thank you for reminding me. Hallelujah. Say, surely you remember that name, don't you? And you remember that mind that defeated you? You remember that one, don't you? He gave me that one.
Amen.
Think about that.
That's right.
Is God hiding his wisdom from you?
No, sir.
Never. If you did, you don't have the mind of Christ. But you have it. Oh, my, my, my.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank you. I thank you because this is your people. Hallelujah. Lord God, there's no man as we know it died for them. It was the man Jesus Christ died for them. Lord Jesus, you're their Savior.
Amen.
And you're their Lord. They belong to you. And Jesus, you told the disciples way back 2,000 years ago, you said, when I leave here, I'm going to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. And surely you did. You sent your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the teacher, the one who takes all that belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. Lord God, it's living in these vessels here today, your people. Oh, Lord God, what a glorious people. How glorious. They are temples of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives in them. Oh, Jesus, what a wonderful job you have done in them. Hallelujah. Oh, and on top of that, that wasn't enough. The Holy Spirit, when He came, He shed your love abroad in their hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, they're not trying to find love. They got it. Hallelujah. They're loved by the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And not just by word, but by deed. You caused them to be born again when they called on the wonderful name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, they have your very nature. Hallelujah. They no longer have the nature of sin. They have the nature of God. They're your children. How wonderful it is. And Father God, I thank you that this day, hallelujah, that the good work that you started in them, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. You're working mightily in them today. Lord God, whatever their need might be, whatever it means, or Lord God, even when they come on behalf of others, you'll give them wisdom, Lord God. You'll put your hand upon them. Lord, you're going to demonstrate to them, Lord God, your glory. You're going to demonstrate to them, Lord God, that they see, and without speaking, that you're real. You're going to give them a testimonies of their own mouth of your glory working through them, Lord God. Hallelujah, that they will personally be able to tell people your wonderful goodness and what you have done for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, oh Lord God, just like you told the demoniac, you said, go back to where you lived and tell them how good the Lord was to you. Go back and tell them. Hallelujah. Lord, that's what we want, the testimony of how good you are. And I thank you, you will give them testimonies of your greatness and goodness, Lord God, that they can share with others. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just appreciate it so much. I thank you so much for loving them. Hallelujah. Oh, for caring so much for them, Lord God. I thank you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bind every demonic power that would try to come against them, to try to torment them. Devil, in the name of Jesus, shut your mouth against the children of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak peace in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to your heart and to your mind in the name of Jesus. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Strength, Billy, strong mind, strong mind, strong thought. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, no weakness in the name of Jesus, that your strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit working mightily, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father God, they're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Hallelujah. That's what they're going to do. Hallelujah. Peace is going to dominate them. The peace of God is dominating them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Conflicts come, but peace will reign. Hallelujah. Conflict comes. Hallelujah. Trouble comes, but peace will reign in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. No fear. No fear, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. You're sound today. No fear. Fear is gone in the name of Jesus. It does not belong to you. Fear must go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Strong in faith. Strong in faith. Strong in faith toward Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, so much that I don't have to live in my own strength. I'm so glad there's more to Christianity than my ability. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for supernatural strength, supernatural wisdom and understanding. Power. Power that comes, Lord God, the power to deal with every situation. Lord God, whatever it might be. And I thank you for it. Father, Father, these are the days and times of your glory being poured out. And I thank you. I pray this, Lord God, here are vessels you can use. These are vessels you can use. They're your vessels, Lord God. And you said to pray. You were supposed to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, they qualify. They're yours.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You raised them up. Hallelujah. Just like the apostles. And just like the 70. Hallelujah. He didn't say, well, you're not apostles. You can't be used. No. No. You're just disciples. Hallelujah. That's good enough. That's good enough. Glory to God. So thank you, Father. Thank you for using them mightily, mightily in these last days in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Abreste gemonyanto vensista da goshete on da brate vrshmana katishkele ki kushishka bora ven fogade kushishka de bogulate brote fesisa. I rejoice in this time, for it is a time set and has been established from the ages past. Today that you will walk in, for these are the days of my glory which shall be shown forth. Hallelujah. And many, I have set many aside for this day and this time that I have prepared and ready to use. And I will put my hand upon them and they shall go forth and glory will shine. Oh yes, and there shall be great rejoicing in the church of Jesus Christ. For many will go forth with glory upon them. And Lord God, the harvest shall be reached. Yes, Lord, the harvest shall be reached. For it shall come forth by the glory of God. For it will not be the hand of man, but the hand of God upon His servants. All that He's called, He says, I can use. All that He's called, I will put my hand upon you. I will use you. Hallelujah. So go forth with joy. Go forth with joy. Rejoice, says the Lord. Rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. For this is the day and time that you have longed for. For this is the beginning. But it shall rise up greater and greater and greater, and much shall be changed. Much shall be changed in the house of God, for it shall not be the same in these last days as it has been in the past. For there was a glory of the past, but these are the days of the fullness of the glory. For no one in the earth has walked in the fullness and known it in its fullness, but the church in this time, because I'm ringing the last bell, says the Lord. I'm ringing the last bell to mankind in the earth. Yes, hallelujah. And then I shall take my people, says the Lord. Hallelujah. I shall take this great harvest I have been waiting for. I've been waiting for this time to come, and here it is, and with great joy I am rejoicing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you. Lord, is there anything else you want to do? Anything that you have? We're interested in you. You're our source. You're our source. You're the one. And we thank you for it. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah.